Mary Peters says DOT gets credit for reduced airline delays. Embraer signs a big contract with fractional operator Flight Options. And NASA workers say Griffin has tarnished their reputations. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 4th, 2007. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters has wasted no time crediting a DOT crackdown for improved airline delay statistics in the third quarter. On Monday, Peters said airlines have changed flight routes, added flight crews, and made additional aircraft available to address the problems. Quote, "Tough scrutiny and a willingness to impose serious penalties have caused the airlines to correct these chronically delayed flights. We will continue to be vigilant, and we will maintain our strong enforcement of these rules to help keep passengers from being treated unfairly," unquote. As ANN reported, in May, DOT launched an investigation into 20 U.S. airlines to determine whether the carriers were engaging in unrealistic advertising practices by publishing schedules for flights that almost never operate on time. In July, after the end of the second quarter, the six airlines operating 25 flights that were chronically delayed for two consecutive quarters were notified that if they failed to address these flights by the following quarter, they would face financial penalties of up to $25,000 per violation. According to Peters, none of the chronically delayed flights from the first two quarters were chronically delayed in the third quarter, based on September figures. The secretary said the department also issued a proposal earlier this month to require airlines to create legally binding contingency plans for extended tarmac delays, respond to all customer complaints within 30 days, publish complaint information online, and provide on-time performance information for their international flights, which was not previously required. Brazilian plane maker Embraer and a Cleveland, Ohio-based fractional program called Flight Options announced on Monday a contract for 100 Phenom 300 aircraft, with options for an additional 50. The deal is Embraer's largest Phenom executive jet order yet, worth $746 million at 2007 prices, and could reach over $1.12 billion if all options are exercised. An additional agreement for maintenance and support is valued at over $200 million. Frederico Fleury Curado, Embraer president and CEO, called the plane's selection by Flight Options an honor. Quote, "It clearly validates the design concepts of premium comfort, outstanding performance, and high availability of the Phenom 300 and solidifies its market-leading position," unquote. Flight Options ordered its first Embraer plane, a Legacy 600, in 2003. The company now operates eight of those planes. The delivery of the first Flight Options Phenom 300 jet is scheduled for the end of 2009. The International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers is accusing NASA Administrator Michael Griffin of unfairly tarnishing the reputations of agency employees with his recent comments to Congress. As ANN reported, NASA has drawn intense criticism for withholding results of a four-year safety survey conducted among pilots, fearing it would hurt airline profits. The union disputed Michael Griffin's technical criticisms of the survey before a congressional oversight hearing in October. The union says the remarks appeared driven by fears that the pilots might report to NASA higher rates of safety problems than are recorded by the FAA's own monitoring. The AP reports the union called Griffin's testimony shocking and said its own investigation found, quote, "no valid scientific basis for the administrator's technical criticism," unquote, of the National Aviation Operations Monitoring System. NASA reports everything is go for Thursday's scheduled launch of the space shuttle Atlantis. On Friday, crews discovered damage to the foam insulation on the external fuel tank. The origin of the damage is unknown, but the gouges have been patched with a material which will have fully cured in plenty of time for Thursday's launch. The Associated Press reports seven astronauts have arrived. The official countdown was scheduled to start Monday night. The European Space Agency's Columbus module is already on board Atlantis for delivery to the International Space Station. And weather forecasts for the Kennedy Space Center look good for the rest of the week. Up next on ANN, American Airlines will eliminate white-collar jobs. FAA employees file a class action suit over pay for performance. And parents of two young crash victims sue the fire department. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 4th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. American Airlines and its parent AMR Corporation have announced they're going to trim another 100 to 200 managers by the end of this year, and permanently eliminate 2-3% of management positions in a cost-cutting effort underway since 2001. Of the mismatch between the numbers of people and the positions, AMR spokesman John Hotard told the Dallas Morning News, some of the positions being eliminated are currently vacant, and some positions will be eliminated through attrition. Even as the announcement was being made on Friday, American pilots were picketing at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport and later took their protest into a general employee meeting. CEO Gerard Arpey was there, and union reps called on him to negotiate a contract which demonstrates the company's appreciation of the pilots' professional leadership. The union has proposed pilots get a 50% pay raise, which it says would restore its members' purchasing power to levels of the early 1990s. 10 years ago, the FAA introduced a performance-based pay system which was supposed to improve the agency's ability to attract and keep employees. A decade later, many of those employees are still so unhappy with the change, they've signed on to a class action lawsuit. The plaintiff of record in that suit is 24-year FAA veteran Tim O'Hara. He's written a letter to the FAA's acting administrator, Robert Sturgill, calling the pay system, quote, a significant depressant on the morale of the FAA workforce. Significant corrections need to be made, unquote. It was not exactly a private letter. The Washington Post reports O'Hara emailed it to about 1,000 colleagues. Performance-based pay is a tricky issue within the federal government, where employees of many agencies have union contracts which protect them from performance evaluations. O'Hara also complains that because veteran employees of the FAA get their performance bonuses paid in lump sums outside the calculations for pension eligibility, he's lost the equivalent of $6,500 a year from his eventual retirement income under the current plan. The Fresno Bee reports that Krista and Matt Plumley, the parents of two young girls who died in an airplane accident near California's Visalia Municipal Airport last year, are suing the city. As ANN reported, pilot Bernard Senor, his wife Betty, and their two granddaughters, Georgiana and Kendall Plumley, died when the twin-engine Piper PA-30 went down on January 13, 2006. The preliminary National Transportation Safety Board report indicated the aircraft stalled while turning base to final in a night VFR landing at Visalia. In their lawsuit, the Plumleys claim that city firefighters contributed to the children's deaths. It took the Visalia Fire Department 4 hours to respond. In March, the city penalized 4 firefighters for failing to act properly after the first eyewitness reports of the crash. Attorneys for the city argue the children's injuries were so severe they could not have survived the crash regardless of the response time. Virgin Atlantic could be celebrating the holidays without its cabin crews. The workers, who are members of Unite, are being urged by the union to authorize a strike, if only to put pressure on Virgin management. The union turned down what the company called its final offer on November 1st. Fox News reports that Virgin Atlantic cabin personnel make as much as $20,000 U.S. less than their counterparts flying the same routes for British Airways. The balloting for that strike vote will end on December 20th, just in time for the Christmas rush, and the same day a strike vote will be closing for employees of the British Airports Authority, also represented by Unite. It sounds as though it might be a good idea to have a contingency plan if you're flying in the UK this Christmas. Still ahead, Hawker Beechcraft gets a certificate for the King Air B200 GT. The BBC says airlines are dodging overflight taxes and generating more CO2. And a Florida group wants to give the USS JFK a new home. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 4th, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. At the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition in May, Hawker Beechcraft Corporation introduced the Beechcraft King Air B200 GT, the latest evolution of the 200 series. 6 months later, the company is able to announce certification of the plane by the FAA. The B200 GT boasts a 305-knot maximum cruise speed. That's a nearly 20-knot speed increase over the B200. It climbs faster to its intended cruising altitudes, according to Hawker Beechcraft. Power comes from two recently certified Pratt & Whitney PT6A-52 engines designed specifically for the King Air B200 GT. The PT6A-52 was derived by mating the turbine section of the 1,050 shaft horsepower capable -60A found on the King Air 350 with the existing King Air B200's -42 gearbox. The result is an engine that holds its 850 shaft horsepower rating to a much higher altitude, improving climb and cruise performance under almost all flight scenarios. Pursuit of international certifications will immediately follow, with EASA, Australia, Brazil, Mexico, India, Argentina, and Guatemala expected by the end of the year. The BBC says it has conducted an investigation which reveals some airlines are deliberately flying longer routes over the Atlantic Ocean to avoid paying high air traffic control charges over direct routes. Evidently, the idea that airlines might plan routes to avoid tax penalties is news in Europe. What is interesting is that third-party calculations suggest that when Thomas Cook and Monarch used the less direct routes on flights to the Canary Islands, the diversions can produce an extra 3 tons of carbon dioxide. The BBC Southeast Investigations Team was tipped off about the so-called Tango routes by a Thomas Cook pilot who asked to remain anonymous. Quote, "There are parts of Europe which are cheaper to fly over than other parts, so you can lengthen a flight by maybe 15 minutes or more to avoid expensive bits of airspace," unquote. Thomas Cook Airlines confirmed the use of Tango routes. Quote, "On the Thomas Cook Airlines flights that used Tango routes between the 2nd and 16th November 2007, fuel was saved on more than 75% of these flights," unquote. A Monarch spokesman was more candid, quote, "In a highly competitive marketplace where customers demand increasingly low fares, we have to manage our costs as tightly as possible. Ultimately, the environmental impact comes down to whether the traveling public is prepared to pay," unquote. The aircraft carrier USS John F. Kennedy was decommissioned this year after 4 decades of service, and a South Florida group is trying to get approval to bring the huge ship to the Sunshine State as a floating museum. Actually, not quite floating. The ship would have its hull welded to steel girders, which hold it in place in a concrete basin filled with fresh water. The plan is intended to protect the ship from hurricanes, reduce the corrosion and maintenance of a saltwater environment, and even let scuba divers explore the ship's underwater exterior. Proponents have targeted 2 sites, one in downtown Miami, the other in Port Everglades in Fort Lauderdale. So far, neither city has erupted in enthusiasm for a new 1,000-foot-long attraction on its waterfront, despite projections the museum might draw 1.2 million visitors a year. And finally, you knew it had to happen. Now that China has joined other pioneering nations in space exploration and launched its own lunar probe, it has one more thing in common with the U.S. Apollo program. Conspiracy theorists who say the whole thing never happened and was done with special effects. Reuters reports that China's chief scientist for the Chang'e 1 probe, Aoyang Zhiyuan, has defended photos returned by the probe from internet gossip suggesting that an image shown of the lunar surface may actually be a 2005 NASA photo. Quote, I understand the doubts of the internet surfers. They hope the Chinese lunar probe can do well, so they don't want the photo to turn out to be a fake, unquote. Yeah, that's it. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Rhett Ross, the new president of Teledyne Continental Motors. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.